The commentary and interviews of this podcast are for entertainment, information, and conversation purposes only. The views and opinions expressed during this episode are those of the individual speakers and do not represent the views or opinions of any specific church, denomination, organization, or third-party affiliate.
Do you want to do a disclaimer thingy in the beginning or at the end?
Let's do it in the beginning.
I feel like this time when you aired it, whatever you push button do, you should have it already starting, like where people hear all of this that happens and realize just how unprofessional we really are.
We are very unprofessional.
Although I am wearing a tie.
You are wearing a tie. Kinda. I say kinda there. I was going to pull up my phone and get a disclaimer and just read somebody else's disclaimer, but I'm kind of too lazy to walk across the room to get my...
Yeah. Here, I got a disclaimer for us.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Just as a disclaimer, we say all kinds of things in this podcast.
We do.
And while we are both pastors, this is not us preaching. So realize that what we're going to say, these are our opinions. Sometimes we're going to say facts. More often than not, we're just going to say how we feel about things. So please don't take this to be gospel truth. Don't take this to be the message of what the Bible says. Don't take this to be the message of what the church says. No, this is what two guys happen to say when they're talking about God and other stuff.
That's a good disclaimer.
Yeah.
All right, one more time for the talk.
I don't know what I said.
I don't either.
So,
hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to our podcast, a podcast about God and other stuff. Yeah. And I can honestly say, Pastor Kamar and I are, we may be a little tired. Yeah. Rafferty's was so good. We had Rafferty's for dinner, everyone.
Are we allowed to say that? Told before, we're not supposed to say names of things.
But it was good. I don't think they'll get angry if we liked it. But it was good.
It was good.
And Drake didn't drop any rhymes.
No,
didn't
he didn't
rap for us, but he was a nice guy.
He was not the Drake I had in mind.
No, I was not expecting Drake in a top knot. Just saying. Usually when I think of Drake, I don't think of top knots.
No. But he was a nice Drake.
I did. So
Drake, if you're listening to this podcast, we appreciate you.
We do. You are a great server, and we really appreciate you.
Yes.
And I loved your top knot, to be honest. I wish I could do that without looking like a bald man, but I would look like a bald man.
So I will tell you guys, we've gotten feedback on a number of things from a number of people, some of which we like, some of which we don't.
Yes, but we appreciate it all.
Yes, we do. And one of the bits of feedback we got, especially from our wives, was, can you do something not so serious? Because everything's always so serious.
So when they said, don't do something serious, the first thing I thought about was the iconic Keith Ledger, why so serious?
Yes, he did. He said it just like that, too.
But yeah, so... So this podcast is about, we really thought about topics and we decided we're going to just call this the podcast about topics to be named later.
Well, this is the other stuff.
The other stuff.
Yeah.
But not really anything specific other stuff.
I do have one thing. Now, I had an idea that I wanted to ask Pastor John about that I didn't
like
tell
ideas.
Him in advance.
You did not.
And so here's a starting point. Okay. Facebook groups.
Yes.
I promise this isn't going to get serious, but Facebook groups. Sometimes you join weird ones because it's fun. And I have a Facebook group that I've joined because it's fun. It's called Dinosaurs Against Christians. And the whole group just exists to pretty much use dinosaur and dinosaur memes to make fun of and talk bad about Christians and to make us out to be idiots. I love that group. It is so much fun. If you don't already a member, you should go out. Like, it's a fun group. I say this as a pastor who loves Jesus. It's a fun group. But my thing to you is, what sort of weird groups are you part of that has nothing at all to do with, hey, I agree with them, but no, this is just funny.
So, antique dolls.
Oh, that sounds creepy.
It is. So, sadly, last year, my wife, through COVID, my wife lost both of her parents. It was that, if you're listening to this 5 years in the future, the year they both passed away, sadly, was 2021. Because this is 2022, we're recording. If you haven't listened to it before then, please listen sooner next time. So my mother-in-law was a how do you best describe it as a someone who collects way too many, a hoarder.
Yeah, I was going to say hoarder.
She was a hoarder.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, and she had one room that was nothing but dolls from the floor to the ceiling. On all four walls were dolls.
Okay.
So we were left after she passed away. My father-in-law had already passed away to manage all of her stuff, to get rid of stuff, to sell things. Because I'm not a guy who collects a lot of things, and antique porcelain dolls is not my thing.
A wall of dolls was not on your list of how you want to live your life?
No, not at all. But okay. It was great. We had a small group there, and we took them, all of our small group here with 20-somethings, into the wall of the room of dolls, and it freaked them out, which was awesome.
It taught them how much they need Jesus.
Yeah, so I to sell things, because in our area, you don't really sell things. Like in Ohio, we still used Craigslist. I hear it's still a thing, but not here. Everything we sell here is through Facebook Marketplace or eBay.
Yeah.
So I joined doll groups. Really, my wife hacked my account and put me in doll groups. I joined doll groups because to see how much things are worth and what they are. So I would get creepy doll pictures and comments and weird things. Until I finally unsubscribed from all of them because I'm like, this is really disturbing me now. And I was scared. I was in a lot of pain. The dolls took me to a very dark place. See? And they were all smiling.
Yeah. Now, I can relate. This is how this is going to be a fun podcast. So speaking of hoarders, I had an uncle who passed away. I don't even know how many years ago now. But as he was preparing to pass away, one of his sons, my cousin, James, which James, if you're listening to this, also James, we love you. Well, I mean, I do. John doesn't know you yet, but he will love James, you when he meets you.
I love you. And I think you're a real person. Unlike some of his other people he's talked about.
They're all real. They're not all real. John.
There's no way.
So, but James and I, we were responsible for cleaning out his dad's like garage while his dad was in the process of dying, like cleaning out his garage and his house to even be room to walk in to maybe put up a bed. He was that level. And I remember opening the garage, and it was also pretty cool because this was my uncle who still lived in Compton. And so I would go up to Compton like every so many days on my spare time, drive up there in my really old, barely running 64 Rambler station wagon.
Rambler?
Yes. It awesome. Was awesome. It was an awesome station wagon. It was. The side point, it has such a strong, powerful engine that I'm driving on 405 freeway. Right. And I'm like in the right hand lane, like I cannot get this thing up to speed. Like it's topping out at 60. This is really, turns out I've been driving the whole time with the parking brake on. Yes. It was so powerful. It was pushing 60 on the freeway through the parking brake. It was like, we're doing this in third gear.
You had
like,
no brakes left after that.
No, actually, I still have brakes too.
Really?
It was an amazing car. I missed that car. I also have a scar through my favorite tattoo on my wrist from that car. When it first met me, it cut me. And I said, I'm going to remember you forever. Anyways, back to the hoarder uncle. So
I just really picture you and the Rambler like going through a field singing a song. Rambling through.
I miss that car, I do. But so we would go and you know, riding up to Compton to clean out a hoarder's garage. And we would open it up. And the stuff my uncle hoarded, I mean, I'm talking, one of the weirdest things I found was brand new in-the-box generator.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. But it was also like, why? Like, why is this way back there? Like, if you get to the point where you need this generator, you can't even get to this generator. We had like old bar neon signs, things that could have been worth some serious money had we had the time to sell it, but we didn't. We just needed to get rid of stuff and get it gone. I brought home a broom and dustpan one day from there, and my wife got upset because she's like, why are you bringing this trash home? I'm like, because you say I don't sweep enough and I wanted to sweep more. She was like, okay, never mind. I take it back. I'm thankful. But the craziest thing we found was this weird, like, white snake. Like, it literally, like, tried to pop out from the garage and bite us. And my cousin James, being the awesome guy he is, he trapped it and kept it as a pet. And then he had a pet snake that tried to kill us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. James, you sound like a great guy. I'm so happy you're real, unlike some other people Kumar talks
James,
about.
James is awesome. James is awesome stuff.
So
he is. I also have statute of limitations, so I keep mentioning this every couple episodes, apparently. Statute of limitations, he can't be prosecuted for this. I believe this with all my heart. I hope so. I hope it's true. We went to Disneyland once when I was little. I think I was about like 8 at the time. And he deftly managed to, without paying for, get me a White Sox mini baseball bat that I still have.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's very nice of him.
I'm pretty sure they can't prosecute him for this. You can't prove that it's not something in my imagination, Disneyland.
You can't. You also can't prove it came from Disneyland because eBay.
It says White Sox.
That's so weird. It says White Sox and it came from Disney World.
I know.
Or Disneyland.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So I find it funny because you're from California and I'm not from California. I've only been out there once. But when I say Disney, my brain automatically goes Disney World.
No, not for me.
I know. You go Disneyland.
Yeah.
So I just find that funny. So something I was thinking about in random thoughts of me, I'm big into movies. You know that I love movies. I've always loved movies. And I was thinking it's the summer blockbuster time. And I was thinking like, hey, if we cast the Bible, like with good actors, right? Who would we cast for different parts? Who would be your Moses, Kamar?
Moses. Oh, you started with Moses.
I am going deep.
I started with an actor, and then I started thinking, who would I cast this actor as?
No, I'm saying
But you started with the character, and I got to cast the character. Okay, Moses. Let's see here. He's a murderer. He's tough. He hangs out in the desert. He eventually becomes a leader. He still has anger issues.
Not a very good speaker.
But I mean,
based on his own thoughts.
Okay, I just had a really, 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 really crazy idea. I'm going to get fired.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to think. Vin Diesel.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. Just
a comedy Bible would be awesome.
I could even see him doing a speech impediment thing. But getting angry too, because he has all these angry characters he's played. Like, I just, yeah, Adam Sandler.
Happy Gilmore as Moses would be amazing.
Right? That'd be great. So there's Moses. Moses. Adam Sandler. Yeah.
All right.
All right. So who would you do? Let's see here. Who would you cast for Paul?
Oh, Paul?
Yeah. The Apostle Paul.
Hard one. See, this is a hard one for me because I've thought about this because I saw a 1970s movie about Paul that had Paul being played by Anthony Hopkins. So like when I hear, I read Paul, like he's Anthony Hopkins in my head. So I have a hard time with this, but I'm going to cast it differently than Anthony Hopkins. So I think for Paul, you got to think about somebody who would be the everyday man.
Yeah.
Who would be able to connect with everybody in every way.
Uh-huh.
I really think I'd have to say Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
The reason I say Tom Hanks is because I think he could really connect with a deeper level. And another actor I think who would do a great Paul for more of his stronger writing stuff would be Denzel Washington.
Okay. See, none of these guys, because I know the historical record says that he was a short, ugly man.
I know.
And neither of these guys are short, ugly men. So I'm like, I mean, I couldn't think of a single person who would. But for anybody who doesn't know that, we actually do have historical records.
That would just be Danny DeVito, wouldn't it?
You called him short and ugly. I didn't.
He was the Penguin in Batman. Was it Batman Returns?
I mean, that actually is probably more historically accurate for how he's described. It's like a short man, balding, beady little eyes, really weird looking nose.
So
like,
Paul was the Penguin.
And a voice that sounded like almost like nails on chalkboard side of a nail. Like seriously, if you don't believe me, I know that I've been accused of being factually inaccurate at times in this podcast. But I will say that this is the historical record of Paul makes him sound like the guy you don't want to hear talk, which is proof the Holy Spirit must be real because, I mean, Paul was still famous. Now here, so I have an actor that I don't know who to cast as, but I would want to see him in the movie.
Okay.
Idris Elba.
Oh, I got that one.
Who?
Voice of God.
Voice of God? No, because see, the thing about Idris is when he's really playing parts like he really wants to, he tends to cuss.
Yeah.
I couldn't have God, the voice of God, cussing.
Why?
I mean, I could imagine, I can imagine Jesus cussing, yes.
Yeah.
But not voice of God cussing.
I'm just saying, I think he could be really, he can nail that.
Yeah.
So, funny story. I'm dyslexic, and I was struggling a lot to read.
That's so funny. No.
It is funny, right? Hi, my name is John, and I'm dyslexic. This is a PSA for dyslexia. It's hard. Thank you.
I wish they could see the way you, like, he does this thing with his hand on his knee and pops his head to the side. Like, you guys missed it. It was comedy gold.
It's classic. So, being dyslexic, I to get deeper in the word, I started listening to the Bible. Well, I was at a Youth Specialties Youth Ministers Conference in Cincinnati years ago, like almost two decades ago now, 15 years, I guess. And I was at this conference and they were advertising this new audio Bible and it was like the Inspired By, and it was 100% accurate translation of the TNIV at the time, which they don't make anymore, a translation, but it was all done by black actors. And I got, for like $20, I got the whole New Testament. I was like, man, this is great. I started playing it in the house and it was like, like Blair, I think it's Blair, is it Blair Underwood? Blair, the black actor Blair or something. I can't remember his name.
I don't know. I didn't even realize there was a black person named Blair.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty sure. Something. Whatever his name is. He was Jesus. He was very good. And then Kurt Franklin was Peter.
All right.
And it had a lot of different big name actors doing it. It was really real well done. The voice of God. Who do you think they would cast as the voice of God?
I'm trying to think crazy now because it's obviously not going to be something I would expect.
Oh, no. You would not expect this.
Aretha Franklin.
No. No. It is a male. I'll give you a choice. Okay. It's a black male actor.
Black male actor. Martin Lawrence.
No. Samuel L. Jackson.
I mean, but at least he has an authority voice. But again, it only sounds great.
But like when the dove flew up to heaven and you hear God's voice, you really just wanted, you were expecting a couple F-bombs to drop.
I actually rewatched Pulp Fiction the other night.
That's a good movie.
Because I hadn't seen it in a long time. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rewatch this.
That part where he starts quoting the scripture, you're just going, man, that's powerful.
As a pastor, I had to look it up. I'm like, this can't, like, I got to make sure that he didn't. I'm like, no, that is okay. That actually is in the Bible.
Yeah.
All right.
It's straight
just
up
making
in the Bible.
Sure, because I want to make, because it's Quentin Tarantino. You never know. I mean, like, he might have just made up a Bible verse just as an inside joke, but no, he didn't.
No, he kills Hitler.
Okay. So here's the thing. As you were talking about actors and Peter, you know, it'd be a funny Peter, black actor, Cat Williams.
Oh, that would be funny. That'd be really good.
Right? You could just see him with his little high-pitched voice and flipping his hair around. Pulling out a switchblade. Right?
Oh.
Just for the record, do you remember this podcast and every horrible thing it is our wives' fault because they said we need to do something that was not so serious.
Yes.
This is what happens when we aren't serious.
Yes. Okay, so next topic. What's your next topic? Anything?
Let's see here. Next topic. That's a serious one. I'm not going to ask you that one.
We can go a little serious. It's fine.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned about like a Bible translation and all that.
Yeah.
And I have my translations I like to read from. Yes. There's the one that you mentioned to me, the Easy Translation.
The Easy Translation?
Yeah, I think that's what you call it, Easy.
The Passion? That's the one I read. That's
no,
easy.
I think it says easy.
I don't think easy was me.
I think it says easy in the Bible app.
Yeah, there's nothing easy about Bible.
I feel like that's the translation. I actually have told people that you told me that one too, and I used it a couple of times. So I take it back. If you're listening to this and you heard me say that, apparently I remembered incorrectly. Pastor John didn't tell me about that Bible.
This has been my other Pastor John.
Yeah.
You know.
But what I was going to say was
there are a lot of us.
Why is it that so many people like are so stuck on translations? Like, I mean, I imagine you come across those King James people.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, Jesus, I like ESV, but I've met some ESV-only people, too, where it's like, well, it's not ESV-only. And people who are like, the message is evil. Other people are like, the message is inspired and beautiful and perfect. Like, what's with that? Like, why do people get so attached to Bible translations?
I call it the brand name effect.
Hmm. All right.
That's what I call it. We all get attached to a brand or something that we're so used to and that we just love. That we don't want to give anything else a chance. Like my family, we call ourselves Ford people. We like Ford cars.
Okay.
I've owned other cars besides Fords, but I like Fords the best. The ones I've loved the most have all been Fords. So that's why I take that stance. But if you, you hear fights between Ford and Chevy people all the time about, the only good Ford is one found on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's where they all end up. Things like that. But I think that's the same way with translations is people get so used to a translation that we don't know anymore. They don't read enough to see the difference. Now, I will say this. The one thing I do miss about having one centralized translation, which would be for most of us, it would be King James. If you go back really 70 years, we had other translations, but everybody was King James. And when people would read scripture together, everybody knew the same passage. They knew the same memorization if they knew it based on the King James. But now if you read something, like there's sometimes a pastor will put up on a board a Bible verse, and I was like, that's not how my Bible reads. So I'll read different translations and see, okay, what's he pulling? Where is he getting that from?
Yeah.
So it makes studying harder to me.
All right. I get that. All right.
Do I think it's right? No, because And honestly, if we take the stance of if it was good enough for Jesus, it was good enough for me, we all be reading things we don't understand.
Yeah.
So
we'd all be reading it in Greek.
Yeah.
We would. So back to more lighthearted to a degree, you talk about, you know, having certain brands. My wife, actually, when we first got together, she was a big Volkswagen person. And you can imagine I ruined that. Because
really?
Oh yeah. Cause I'm me.
I could so see you throwing herself around town in a Volkswagen bus.
Oh, so she had one.
Big flower on the front
and all that. But like now the new electric bus, I would love one of those.
I like those.
But my whole thing, cause me being me, come on, this is me. I'm like, what? That's Hitler's car. Like
it is Hitler's car.
That's just me being me about it. And I kind of ruined the joy of Volkswagen, but also something she had. So I you know, I like to write. And I used to write more than I do now. But I had an essay that I did based on, she had a convertible cabriolet. Like she just loved this thing. Black. It was great. We actually still had up until the time our oldest Manazi was born. And I remember we parked it. We always paid for underground, like paid parking in Mexico. And the one time we didn't pay for parking, we parked right on the corner. Somebody literally broke the window and stole a radio. Like the one time, of course. But, she had this button that was built into it on the dash. And it literally had no function at all. It was a button you could push and it did nothing. And you would look it up in the actual manual for the car. And on the dash, it would show the, it would show the diagram, it would show the button, and it pointed to it. It's called button B. That was the name. The button's name was button B. And it said button B. And the direction says has no function.
That's awesome.
And so I wrote a whole essay all about button B has no function and what are the button Bs in your life? How many times do you have things in your life that you're mass producing and passing on from generation to generation, but it has no real function? We need to get rid of these things. And people would read the essay like, oh, this is amazing stuff. Oh, this is amazing. I'm like, I didn't make this up. There's a real button B. Come in my wife's car. Come sit. Look at the button B. There it is. And they'd be like, and they'd push the button. It doesn't do anything. I told you it has no function. This is crazy. Yeah, button B has no function. So
come on,
yeah.
Button B.
Yeah. I mean, now, knowing what I know about German engineering, what it really was it has no function because the idea is aftermarket, you're going to put something in and you're going to need a button. We already have a button for you because we thought ahead. You're welcome. We're the German engineers. That's the reality of it. But I didn't say that in the manual. What it said was button B has no function.
Yeah.
And me being early 20-something-year-old, I hate Volkswagen guy. Oh, this is everything that's evil and wrong with the world.
You took it out on Volkswagen.
Yes, I did.
I see how it is.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'm so shocked you're not a Volkswagen person. But it was Hitler's car.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe me, if you say Hitler, it wasn't, there is a documentary on Amazon Prime called Cars of the People with James May. And he has an episode on Volkswagen and it goes over how they sold the original Beetle to be, it was kind of like time sharing. You get your car to help support the Nazi war campaigns.
So, yeah.
And none of those people got cars, by the way.
No, but hey, that's the reality of it. Yes. I mean, history is awesome.
I love history. I love learning from history. I love all the dumb things from history.
Okay.
Next topic.
All right.
Dumbest thing you've ever read in history.
Dumbest thing I've ever read in history. So
or
something,
heard about in history.
We'll see here. Okay, that one's not real. That's a short story. That's not a real thing that happened. So it doesn't count. Let's see here. Old timey underwear was pretty dumb.
Yep.
It was a waste of time, pretty much. Old-timey medicine was really, really dumb. We almost, I mean, it's not necessarily the dumbest thing, and I passed it up. I should have bought it. My wife told me to buy it. It was like $50 back when I only had $2 to my name. But we were at a thrift store, and they actually had a home irradiation kit.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I should have bought it.
You should have.
It was where you plug it into the wall, and has these different type of glass tubes to just rub it, the wand over your skin to irradiate your skin, to cure all sorts of maladies. Yeah, I didn't buy it. I should have bought it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Once again, my wife was right and I was wrong. But that's still not the dumbest necessarily. I mean, it's especially medically. Okay. I'd say one of the more evil, tragic medical history things. I'll stick with medical history because I'm a medical doctor. I know more about medicine stuff.
Sure.
This guy, Dr. Sims, he actually had, at least last I heard, he still had a statue somewhere in the South and in New York City too, as I recall. They might have taken it down now. But Dr. Sims, he was like the father of modern gynecology. He invented a lot of surgeries that were used to save lives and reverse a lot of really messed up disorders that women can have gynecologically. But the way he did that was that he was a slave owner. He would go down to the slave auction. He would buy female slaves. He would get them hooked on opiates so they definitely wouldn't run away. And then he would perform surgeries on them to caused a medical problem that he was trying to fix, but he would operate on them without any painkillers. And then he would let them sit there and kind of suffer. And then he would try and find out how to reverse it. So he just was like a real life, just monster of a human.
That's horrible.
Yes, very horrible. But at the end of the day, he invented surgeries that have saved hundreds of thousands, not millions of lives ever since then, and made it so women can actually have somewhat of a function of life. But the problem was he did torture a bunch of black women to make that happen. Yeah.
That's horrible.
I know we said we weren't going to be serious, but I just
killed the whole vibe.
I do that.
And I had this, my story was going to be about a castle in Germany I went to, but no, you killed it. I just feel bad now.
You asked the question, man. You should have known.
You went all sad.
You said the dumbest. I mean, that's pretty dumb.
That's not just dumb. That's barbaric.
Yeah. But it's still dumb.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say mine.
Yes. Bring it back up to something happy.
In Germany, where I grew up, there's this castle, and outside the castle, outside of a window, is a footprint in the concrete. And for as far as I know, there's no real reason for this footprint to be there. So every tour guide makes up a different story about why this footprint is at the castle is made hundreds of years ago. And everyone has a different story. And every story would get more crazy. One time, because of course, being in Germany, we toured castles often. We toured that castle several times. And every time we'd go there, we'd take the tour, and the tour guide would say things like, oh, the princess was in love with her man, and he was up in his room, and the father walked in, and he jumped out the window, and this is the imprint of his foot. The next one was the princess was in love with a man, and she was locked in the tower, and the man stomped his foot so hard it went into the ground. And I'm like, looking at it. And you look at it, and I swear, everybody says it looks like footprint, and everybody puts their foot into it. But then you just kind of go, I think it's just where they messed up the pavement.
I mean, is it concrete?
It's whatever they made the cap, like rock, like how they've laid the foundation of the rock. It's very, it's weird. It's like a blemish in the rock.
So it's one of those things where like people say it's something,
yeah,
but really like just seeing something.
Kind of like the man on the moon. Like there are factual documents if you go back hundreds of years ago of the man in the moon is a real thing and all those things like by scientists.
Yeah.
Because, you know, science.
All right. So here's one for you.
Science.
If you had to live in any time period in the past.
Okay.
But it has to be, we'll go before the discovery by, I've got to try and put this in a politically correct format. Let's just say before the 1600s. There we go.
Okay. Before the 1600s.
Yeah, we'll just make it that simpler.
Okay.
Because I was like going to go way back, but I'm like, then I got to specify which Europeans discovered North America. That's too hard. We'll just go 1600s. A good round number. There's already a North America, sure. That's called North America. Before any time before the 1600s, when and why?
I would say the 1400s.
Okay. Like what part of the planet in the
1400s? My favorite was the European time frame, but more like Portugal, Spain.
Okay.
Because that's when they really started sending out ships and exploring the world. Right. And I think the idea of being able to see something for the first time would be awesome.
Okay.
And either that, the Viking time frame, just because, you know, Vikings are kind of cool.
I mean,
they have cool beards. I can't grow one that well. My wife would never kiss me again.
I mean,
I love the idea of being able to explore and find things new.
All right.
I just think that would be something awesome. And I think I don't want to say we've lost it, but I feel like we've lost it. The ability, the mindset of discovering new things for the sake of discovery.
Yeah.
Matt Damon has that cryptocurrency ad out that says, what is it?
Fortune favors the bold.
Fortune favors the bold, right?
Yeah.
Which, what that has to do with cryptocurrency, whatever. But I think we've lost that mentality of discovery.
Yeah. Well, there's no frontier.
There isn't.
There's no frontier.
Well, that we can easily get to.
That's why, I mean, this sounds horrible. And I'm trying to keep it light. I am John.
No, you're not.
And I'm saying this seriously. And I don't mean to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. And if you know me personally, you realize how much I love nature and plants and life and the planet.
Yes, and his grass.
I love my grass. Don't get me started on my grass. And my trees. Oh, man. in my one of my devotions last week, I actually pushed the button to turn the camera around so they could see my trees. As I was, I don't even remember what the context was. I just shared my trees when that devotion. Anyways, as much as I love all those things, one reason why I actually am, to a degree, pro global warming. Yes, that's a thing you can be, apparently, because I just invented it. If I didn't already exist. But one reason is because if Antarctica were to melt, there'd at least be a frontier.
Sure.
And I feel like there's a lot of social pressure that would relieve. If we could send all the weirdos, like my son, to a frontier, like we used to do.
Yeah.
Like, hey, weirdo, you don't fit in here. Go make a new country.
Go be your own country.
You know? My son would love that. But so I was thinking time for me, like, because I had, you know, it gets complicated because I want to stay a black man. So that makes it difficult because I have to pick a time period and a place where that doesn't increase my liabilities and decrease my life quality.
That's not a whole lot of places, to be honest with you.
But I was thinking ancient Rome, like maybe even like before Constantine.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Because a lot of people don't realize how non-racist the Romans were.
Yeah.
But they were not racist at all.
Like Rome during the beginning of the Caesars, I think would be phenomenal.
Like, I mean, because they all they cared about was, do you speak our language? Are you a citizen?
Yeah.
Then good. And I mean, I would insist on being a Roman citizen. Yes. Like I want to be one of those guys.
Yeah.
Not a slave. No. Not a poor guy. I want to be a Roman in Roman Empire. Back then, oh, that'd be so awesome. I mean, talk about like, discovery and newness.
Yeah.
But also still, they had hot and cold running water, so I could still take a hot bath.
I know, right?
They had indoor plumbing.
That's better than my boat thing, because the boats were scurvy.
I mean, see, you talk about going exploring, great, but I would love to have modern medicine, indoor plumbing, hot baths, you know, actual professional restaurants, entertainment.
So what you're saying is you want life now, but then.
Yes. I want life now, but then. That's what I would go with.
That's our t-shirt for this episode. Life now, but then.
We found it. Yeah. Yeah. That's much better than last episode's Let's White It Up.
You did white it up on that one. Whew, that was a lot of heat. But I have a love for pirates. Don't laugh at me. It's serious. I like pirates.
I have a love for pirates.
I have a love for pirates.
I mean, here we are. You know, you say what, 42?
39.
My wife hates I say it. I'm like, I'm almost 40. She hates that I round up to 40.
You're almost 40.
I mean, that's what I say. But like, so here we are, you know, a couple of
38, you're almost 40.
A couple of 40-something-year-old guys sitting around, nothing to do. And you're like, I like pirates.
I do.
Yeah. Well, I want to live back in the Roman days. Like, that's the conversation right now.
It is.
All right. Thanks. Go on. What are you going to say about pirates?
I really appreciate your support.
What are you going to say about pirates, though?
No. So I always wanted to live in, like, the time frame of the Caribbean and even travel to the Caribbean and see, like, the ancient cities that they established and built and things like that. I know.
Like Atlantis.
Not Atlantis. That's not a real place.
It's a real place.
Where?
Look, I don't know exactly where, but I'm just going to say, like, yes, I am that guy. I believe Atlantis was a real place.
Okay.
I think that Plato wasn't just coming up with some weird allegory.
I don't think it was an allegory.
Like, I think it was a real place. I think it was, especially when you look at some of the connections between African and South American civilizations.
Yeah, I can
see that. And just how easy the technology is to sail a boat from one place to another.
Well, like, I think, okay, I'll give you that. I don't know where it is. I'm sure it probably is a real place.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
It's probably around Caribbean. It would be somewhere either Caribbean or, you know, in between Africa and South America.
Well, it's like, I think it's the city is Tortuga in the Caribbean. It's completely underwater. Our earthquake flooded it and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Like the city that the pirates established is really pirates, Republic of Pirates. I think it was that city. But Tortuga is underwater.
Yeah.
You can actually take, I think they said you could take boats and scuba diving trips to go see the buildings and things like that.
Yeah.
So, which sounds cool to me. But then I'm like, okay, but they're pirates, right? What was the pirate movie with Tom Hanks? We're back to Tom Hanks. Captain Phillips?
Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I like pirates, but then I don't like pirates, right?
No. See, that's why I was laughing because, like, I mean, at least my Romans, they were the nice Romans.
Really?
Before Constantine.
Before Constantine, okay.
That's why I specified. I want the Romans when they were still building empire. and building civilization, not when they were like, say, hey, let's, you know, really just start killing each other and everybody around us.
Okay, so if you could buy anybody a cup of coffee, who would you buy?
Anybody a cup of coffee? Like
anybody in the world that you would just love to sit down and pick their brain.
Okay, this is going to sound really cheesy.
Okay.
But it literally is the only person that came to mind. And I promise you, I'm not doing this to just be that guy. My wife.
Okay.
Maybe it's because we're tired, or maybe it's just that low. I don't know. But like, honestly, she's the only person I'm like, yeah, my wife. But you know, part of it is, let me talk about us being parents with so many kids. Yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to our wives coming up tomorrow.
I'm so excited about that.
Because we don't get much of it being just us time. Now, granted, we're not going to get much of that here because we are here at a conference. We've got stuff to do. Yes. But the idea, like, I love the idea of having just when it's, you know, we can be adults without kids interrupting.
And for everybody listening on the podcast, we actually are planning to have our lovely wives very soon on this podcast with us. Yes. And we want to do it really, really late so they're tired and aren't talking good English is the best way to cover it. But we'll see if we can make that happen. But I – see, if I say anybody but my wife now
– I said I wasn't trying to be that guy.
You are that guy. That made you that guy.
I wasn't trying to be that guy.
You're that guy.
I just was being honest. I couldn't think of anybody other than her. I mean, it's either that or Jesus. And that's like, I'm going to have time with Jesus anyways, eventually. I mean, you can say with my wife too, but still, she literally came to mind. It was my wife. I thought my wife. Okay.
So, okay. All right. I'll take that answer.
You don't have to think my wife. Don't think of my wife. It's okay.
I'm not trying to think. I'm thinking of your wife now. Cause you just said, don't think about my wife. Come on, man. How are you going to do that to him? That's just harsh. Right. So no, but okay. So, no, I agree with you 100%. We are looking forward to this because it's not a vacation for us. We're working, but it's also a time for us to be just – for me, it's a time for John and Crystal to be just John and Crystal.
Yeah.
So it's like we – like I gave her a kiss goodbye when we were leaving. I said, guess what? She's like, what? I said, tomorrow night, there are no kids. It's just us.
Yeah.
And she's like, I know, right? What are we going to do? Sleep. I said, sleep.
I knew it. I knew the answer was sleep. Spoken like a real parent.
Right. Only we just gonna go sleep. Rest. Yeah. Rest is so much.
Yeah. But who's your person you'd buy coffee for?
So, I would really like to buy coffee for, is it Tiki Waikiki?
Oh, yeah.
The director of Thor Ragnarok and What We Do in the Shadows. I just think
he also plays Blackbeard in.
He does. Pirate movie.
Yeah. Well, it's just show, but.
Yeah. That show is called Our Flag Means Death.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is show. Really, really bad and funny at the same
time. It's hilarious. Yeah.
The finger thing. It's so good. Cut off his finger.
Yes. Yeah.
Spoilers, I guess.
But yeah.
But no.
He's an interesting character.
Yeah. I just think he'd be an interesting guy to just sit down and talk to.
Yeah.
One, because he's from New Zealand, and I don't know a lot of New Zealanders.
No.
Me neither. I don't think I know any, to be honest. But I think he's just the thing. There's not many things he's done that I haven't liked. And in all honesty, him or I guess I have a man crush on New Zealanders or the two guys from the, Flight of the Conchords.
Oh yeah. Those guys are awesome.
Jermaine Brent and the other guy, I can't remember the other guy's name. Yeah. Brent.
Yeah. Jermaine. Brent.
Boom. Boom, boom, boom. But yeah, so either of those guys, I think it just, because not to find out their stories a little bit, but also I think they just seem like really down. Honest to goodness guys.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking for is like to talk to. I would love just to find out more about their story and where they come from and things like that. I think it'd just be fun.
Maybe. So. Hey, if any of the three of you are listening and are willing to sit down and talk with us, I mean, I guess I'd be willing to sit and talk with you two and not just my wife.
No, you've already said you would not be included in this podcast. This would be a Kamarla's podcast.
That could happen too.
That'd be really sad.
Honestly,
I couldn't do that to you.
If in exchange for that, I get to sit down with my wife and have a cup of coffee and be alone with her, it would be worth it.
You did it again. You're that guy again, man.
All right. Hey, so we got time for one last crazy thing. Okay, perfect. So here's my last one that's actually going to make it somewhat God related.
Were we not?
But yeah, no.
There was a little bit. We talked about Bibles.
We said Cat Williams is of the Apostle Peter.
But we also talked about translations and how.
Yeah, that's true. All right. So aliens.
Okay.
Now I'm a high school science teacher, so it comes up too.
We're going to get a little serious about God here. Aliens.
Yes. Aliens. Like, all right. Aliens and the Bible and God. Because people talk about, like, you know, what do you do with your faith in Jesus if aliens show up? Like how, I mean, if Jesus, you know, died for the sins of the world, what about aliens? Did Jesus die for E.T. too? Like, what's your theological take on aliens and original sin and, you know, regeneration in Christ and all those things? Like, I said it was going to be a little serious, but I mean, it's but like,
okay. So aliens and original sin.
Well, because I mean,
that's where you went.
The question hasn't been worded like that, but that's the question. Sure. Like people, essentially, if you're saying to me, okay, what do you do with aliens and Jesus? You are saying original sin. Yeah. You are saying regeneration. You are saying, you know, like all these things, honestly, as far as the incarnation and deity, you may not sit there and say original sin, but what issue do you have with Christianity and Jesus and aliens if it's not the issue of sin and as it exists sure. in mankind? I mean, so yeah, what's your take on aliens?
Okay, my take on aliens is I don't know. And I say I don't know because I have the History Channel, so you know there's an alien show on every night now.
Yeah, because it's no longer the History Channel, it's the Alien Channel, it's brought to you by History.
It's the Alien Channel. But I think there's not enough evidence showing intelligent life. There's evidence showing life, but not intelligent life.
All right.
And I mean, I have a dog. You have a dog. We don't think they're the most intelligent things in the world.
Nori's pretty smart. My dog's pretty smart, especially okay. for a one-eyed little tiny dog. I mean, I realized.
You're really
I
trying just, to love on the dog right like, now. Like, okay, I understand.
I thought cool. about it because she's so tiny, and I realized that her brain is smaller than my fist.
Yes.
And she knows her name. That's pretty smart considering how big her brain is.
You're right. I do not fall on the philosophy of all dogs go to heaven.
Oh, no, they don't all go to heaven.
Right?
Our first dog doesn't.
They're not.
Ramen? No.
Ramen was the dog's name?
Ramen had it. We do Asian food is the name, is how we name our animals. Ginger is ginger tea. Like
that's funny.
That's ginger, yeah. And then you got ramen and you got nori.
So back to aliens and for original sin.
Before ginger was miso? Could you not?
Before ginger was miso.
Yeah.
That's another t-shirt. Before ginger was miso. Oh, and it needs to be spelled before ginger, miso. And it me and so needs to be two different words because it's proper Kentucky spelling.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's how it needs to be. But no, aliens and Jesus. Back to the seriousness there. I don't know, but I haven't seen enough evidence of intelligent life. I have seen enough evidence to say there is life outside. They found water on Mars and Mars has living bacteria, organisms, things. But I haven't seen enough evidence of alien, like intelligent beings. Mm-hmm. And God has made a lot of creatures and a lot of things on our planet that are not intelligent beings as humans, are not part of what we would consider the people who can accept him and to be his bride.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's where I'm at in the thing.
All right.
I'm not saying there, I haven't seen enough evidence of intelligent being outside of the planet, but to me, space is like the ocean. There's more in the ocean we haven't found yet.
Yeah.
That we keep finding every time we go deeper.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to keep finding more things every time we go deeper. But also, we're not finding intelligent beings in the ocean either.
True. Yeah.
So that's how I take it.
So one of the first things that I have students who ask me this, and I love just throwing them because they'll like you're a pastor. And I'm like, Mr. Roche, do you believe in aliens? Yeah. They'd be like, wait, what? And I'm like, you don't? I thought you were a Christian. What do you mean? Well, I mean, what is an alien if not just a being that is native to not this planet? What are angels? Oh, well, you know what I meant was, well, I'm just saying, like, if an angel is some sentient being that is alive, that we believe possesses life and intellect, that is not native to Earth, even if it's just from a different dimension, still, what is alien life if not that, but life sure. that is not native to this planet? And so my thing is like, well, yeah, I mean, I think every good Christian believes in alien life because we believe in all kinds of life that's not sure. just human beings from Earth, which to me, that's like a deflective way of putting it, like, okay, so let's reframe the conversation. But also, I was shaped a lot by C.S. Lewis. I think I mentioned this before, C.S. Lewis's Space sure. Trilogy.
Yeah.
I read that as a boy, and C.S. Lewis gets a lot of credit for a lot of things he's done. I think Space Trilogy is one of those ones that people just don't talk enough about.
Sure.
That they need to make that into
they don't a, talk about it at all.
That should be movies. Like, movies need to be made of these. If you are a movie producer and you want to make quality Christian movies, C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy, if they're not in common public domain yet, just give it a couple more years because that stuff is old. It will be soon. Find out how to license that or whatever. Like, make those into movies. Full on blockbuster CGI. Like, you got everything in there. The third book has Merlin fighting scientists from the dark side of the moon.
That's cool.
What? Like, that's in the book. But one of the things I like is that, so the premise is that there's other intelligent life in the universe, in our solar system. Actually, he contains just to our solar system. And the idea is essentially that we are the only planet that has sinful sentient life. That on the other planets, they didn't sin. And so they have this other way of interacting with God that's perfect, that is free of sin and sinfulness. And then in essence, the reason why we don't have more communication with aliens is because we are under galactic quarantine. And the way he talked about it in the first book is called Out of the Silent Planet. And the idea being that there's all this constant communication between all sentient lives throughout all the universe, but Earth is silent. And Earth is silent because Earth is enemy territory. Everybody knows that we're that one planet where the people who are in charge, humans, we messed up and we gave it over to the enemy. And so we're quarantined. We're like essentially planet-wide COVID. and
planet-wide COVID.
Yeah, pretty much. And so the rest of the universe is teeming with sentient, intelligent life praising God. And they all know about us, but they all stay away from us because we are infected and they're not.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? I can buy that, like, because that would be a rational thing that says that there's nothing that says that because they are sentient, they have to sin. In fact, the Bible tells us that pretty much of sentient life forms that it describes, you have angels where only one third chose to sin, and you have humans who are idiots. And aside from that, you have the majority of the angelic beings that have not chosen sin.
Sure.
And so what's to say that it's not like that throughout the universe, that you have a universe full of life that is all avoiding us because we are sinful. And so we just get passed by.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So I have one last question.
All right, go ahead.
You brought it to my head because you talked about C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
It's a very deep question.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I need the Pastor Kumar hat on full blown. I need this answer.
I'll do like my mom taught me as a little kid. True story. As a little kid, to help me to focus on tests, she told me to put my thinking cap on, and I would have this invisible hat that I would always keep in my back pocket. And honestly, my mom would wait to watch for me to reach my back pocket and put on my little invisible thinking cap.
And you just did. I just
put it on. I put on my thinking cap. All right, I'm ready.
So, C.S. Lewis, right?
Uh-huh.
J.R.R. Tolkien.
Right.
Why is Lord of the Rings considered okay for Christians, but Harry Potter, which has wizards as well, not?
Because of the heart behind it.
What heart?
Tolkien's heart was so you had Tolkien and Lewis were both essentially students of MacDonald. I mentioned him to you before, I believe. So George MacDonald, amazing, I think he was Scottish pastor, and he coined the term fairy godmother. He wrote all kinds of fairy tales. And the two of them were students of him. They said, we need more awesome stuff like this, stuff that talks about fairies and magic and epic battles, but all of it 100% through and through written with the intention of teaching children the truths of God.
Okay.
And so that was what Tolkien and Lewis did, was they said, we're going to do something like MacDonald, but it's going to be 100% all about teaching people the heart of Christ.
Okay.
That is not the intent behind Harry Potter.
Why? Because here's the question.
Uh-huh.
Harry Potter, this is not a spoiler because the book's been out like 25 years now.
Yeah.
His mother died for him, sacrificed his life for him. And then the last book, he sacrificed himself for his friends.
Uh-huh.
Which is really, that's sacrificing yourself for others is a big part of, it's what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed himself for us.
I mean, but you don't say.
I'm just saying.
Look, you don't say Aztec mythology is also good for Christians.
I didn't say. I don't know.
But Quetzalcoatl, he also gets sacrificed so that the sun can be reborn and all of us can live.
Yes, but the thing for me is, though, and this is very personal for me. I don't know why it's so personal for me, but it's weird. I need to go through therapy.
It's whatever. Okay.
But for me, it's like everybody jumps on the Lord of the Rings train because he was a Christian author.
Yeah.
Right? And I get that. But in the end, Frodo couldn't get rid of the ring. And it was bitten off by a crazy dude who fell in a lava pit.
But that's because you're not understanding. Frodo wasn't meant to be a true symbol of Christ.
Then what was in the movie?
He was a symbol of us.
No, what was the symbol of Christ in the book?
Well, but Frodo was to emulate us, not
I understand
Christ.
That, but what was supposed to be like Christ then?
And Lord of the Rings, it didn't necessarily have one.
This doesn't make any sense to me.
Why doesn't it?
Doesn't make sense.
You don't have to have a Christ figure to have a representation of the walking Christ.
But I get that. I think you're just...
No. Frodo was showing us what our life is supposed to be like as Christians.
Frodo that.
That's what it was. He was showing us what our lives is. Just like down even having the friend, you know, having Sam.
Sure.
Of our walk, our weighty walk that we're sitting here and we're living this, we're carrying our cross.
Sure.
And we're doing this for the sake of the gathering of the saints. Like, it wasn't that Frodo was Jesus. It was that Frodo was us.
I get that. No, I get that. And I think that my favorite character was actually Sam.
Yeah. Which is also an example of us.
Like, example of us.
The whole idea of the fellowship of the ring was different versions of us.
I get it.
It's
I get
almost,
that.
It's, they're more analogous to the disciples. Okay. Really.
I still don't think you prove this point, but
if there was anybody who was supposed to be Jesus like in it, Gandalf.
Yeah, I could see that because he did die and rose again.
That was the Jesus,
the white
and he comes back with the shining. He would be the Christ figure in Tolkien.
I can see that.
But so back to your original point. Okay, your frustrations aren't completely invalid. So the reason why people just say Tolkien good and why am I forgetting her name?
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, Rowling bad is because Tolkien, his heart was to show us Christ. Her heart was to make money and entertain children.
Her heart was to entertain her kids.
I'm just telling you what the
I understand.
What our evangelical friends would say.
I get it. Okay? I get it. I understand.
Where they are wrong is the same reason why it is that I say one day before I die, I hope to do an anime-themed Bible study.
That'd be cool.
Where I do nothing but point at different anime and use that to point out all these things about Christ. Like, it'd be so much fun. Because what they're not understanding is that you don't have to have the intention of preaching the gospel to be useful in the preaching of the gospel. And so I agree, yes, that there is a lot of what you can find in the Harry Potter books and stories that can be quite useful in explaining the truth of the gospel to people. Just because her heart wasn't about that doesn't mean the gospel is not somehow in there. Just like with anime. That is some amazing anime that I could preach the gospel from. And I promise you, those people don't love Jesus.
Sure.
But there's this bias within the Christian community that says that if you are a Christian person doing it, awesome. If you're not a Christian person doing it, I don't like you.
Yes.
And I know we said we're having a soft-hearted, light, you know, not serious one, but that could be a whole other podcast in and of itself with the fact that we are very un-Christ-like because we say that only Christian artists, like I really get, you know, I get upset about this idea of having Christian movies and Christian bookstores and
hate Christian movies.
And the whole idea of being that we're going to have our own little separate world to ourselves, but that's not what we're supposed to be.
Man,
this is going to get really messed up. Well, okay. I don't like the Amish. There, I said it.
It's okay.
But the reason why I don't is because to me, it is so, they are so very unchristian.
Sure.
Because they claim to be Christian. They claim Christ as their Lord and Savior. And to them, to do that means to set themselves apart from the world and live completely separate from the world. And that's what it means to be a Christian to them. And that is the opposite of what Jesus told us to do. We are to live wholly in the world, not wholly apart from the world. And so that's just that. I think that what you're seeing with the whole idea of Tolkien versus Rowling is that same thing again personified of because she's not doing this from a Christian standpoint. We're going to say that what she's doing is evil and pagan and full of witchcraft and diabolic forces and it's going to kill your children. Oh, but Tolkien has the exact same imagery, but because his heart was in a different place,
sure.
It means something different. And I would argue that okay, there is some truth to that. Yes. There is some truth to the idea of the power that's going on behind the scenes in spiritual warfare. Yes, that is true. But at the end of the day, I remember back about my mom again. I remember being in high school, and they had this card game. They still have it, Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
Because I'm that nerd.
That's okay.
And we would play that in high school. And I remember my mom saying, "You can't have this in my house. That stuff is evil, and that's the devil." And so I had a hidden deck. Sure. I did. I usually kept it at school so my mom wouldn't find it. I was strict red usually because I love red. It was my favorite color. But oftentimes I actually would play with a black and white deck. That's how serious I was about it. But my mom went and instead, because she was a good Christian woman, took me down to the Christian bookstore and bought the Christian version of the Magic Gathering cards. Have you ever seen those?
Yes, they're horrible.
They are the worst.
Yeah.
They're like redemption cards or something like that. And it's like, I can play Gabriel. And I mean, and I'm not saying this to hate on the people who try, because they were just trying. They were trying to give some sort of way for nerds like us to have an outlet, since our moms wouldn't let us play Magic.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I've never seen anybody conjure up a demon from Magic the Gathering. I've not met any of my atheist friends who have never sat there and said, I stayed an atheist because of Magic. None of them are going to sit there and say, I became a Satanist because of Magic the Gathering. Like, it's just a card game, guys. And it's a card game that could be used if you learn how to speak the language to point to Christ. It's a card game that could just be not. I mean, it's like anything else.
I think something we have to learn as parents is this, though, is I've had a lot of friends who have atheists and things like that. And a lot of them play Magic, and a lot of other people play Magic that are Christians. And I've never seen anybody walk away from their faith because of magic cards.
No.
But I have seen people walk away from their faith by not being allowed to see the world and being forced only Christian things.
Yeah.
And then when they become an adult, they can't handle what really happens.
Yeah. Like that one, what movie was that one? You Can't Handle the Truth. Come on.
A Few Good Men.
There you go. You're the movie guy. Yeah.
A Few Good Men. Tom like, Cruise.
And it's back to Tom Cruise. Oh, no, that was Tom Hanks. Oh, different Tom.
Speaking of Tom, thank you guys for joining us today. We are so excited for this podcast, and thank you for listening to us ramble about things, and we hope you got something out of it.
Yeah. This was a stuff episode. I hope you liked it. And wives, see, we listen.
Yes, we do listen. And if you want more stuff episodes, let us know. We're also going to be coming together with more topics and things like that. We really want to make a podcast where we're just real people with you, and we're just telling you our hearts and seeing that you can see that pastors aren't any different.
Yeah.
We just are normal people. We just love what we get to do. So thank you guys all for this. We are so excited. Pastor Mar.
Yeah. I just want to say once again, if you don't like anything we said, feel free to tell us. We can take it. Yeah. But also, this was not a sermon. This was just two friends.
Two friends.
And we let you listen to us be us.
Yep. And this is the version you get because we're going to be too lazy to do anything else. Love you guys. Bye.
Love you. Bye.